How y'all doing?
Good,
good to be here. Been looking forward to coming and being with you. Enjoyed the singing. Good singing won't take you to heaven, but it'll sure make you want to go, won't it?
Yes.
Amen. But I appreciate being here tonight and the goodness of the Lord and His mercies to us. And I ought to be in hell with a broke back, but I'm glad He had mercy.
Amen.
And His goodness to us. If you will, open your Bibles tonight to the book of Matthew chapter 21. And we want to look at some scripture. I trust the Lord will use in our thoughts tonight. Again, trying to find God's will and for the message, and went back and forth. But I trust the Lord will use what He's given us tonight to be a help to all of us as we get ready for this season. And I do know where scratch gravel is. I pastored Calvary Baptist for about 2 years up in Marion, and so I know where scratch gravel is. But it's good to see you and good to have all of you tonight. If you found your place, would you stand with me tonight and reverence the reading of the Word of the Lord? I'm glad to have some of the folk from our church, Brother Ed Robinson, Joe Miller, Sister Judy Ely, and my wife, and of course Pidge and Reba, and appreciate them being here with us tonight for the service. Matthew chapter 21, verse 1. And when they drew nigh to Jerusalem and were come to Bethage, even unto the Mount of Olivet, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way, others cut down branches from the trees, and strode them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Would you pray with me? Our Father, we bow tonight to thank you for the privilege to be in church. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to fellowship with those of like precious faith. And Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for loving us. And our Father, we thank you for this most holy week that we've entered into as we celebrate, Father, the death, burial, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. We thank you for our salvation. Thank you for the precious blood that stained the old rugged cross. And our Father, as we come tonight, we ask, Lord, that you would just cleanse us from every stain. And I pray, Father, anything in us that would hinder the flow of the Holy Spirit, would hinder you from using us tonight. Lord, would you just remove it, cleanse us from it right now. And our Father, we ask, Lord, that these nights of meeting that have been set aside, Lord, that you'll meet with us. And our Father, we do not have it in our power to bring revival or to stir anybody. But I pray the Holy Ghost of God will be free to do his office work in these nights. Father, thank you now for the privilege to stand and preach. And we ask thee, Father, for that unction, for the anointing, in Jesus' name and for Christ's sake. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Over in the book of Psalms, chapter 24, there is a passage of Scripture that has to deal with, in Psalm 22, it deals with the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. Psalm 23 has to do with the comfort that he gives. And Psalm 24 has to do with the coronation of him as king. And in Psalm 24 and verse 7, Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory, Selah. Or think about it. In olden times, when one king would go to another king's dominion, he would always have, they would pull up to the gate, And if they were on friendly terms, the king always had a rider at his right hand. And when they approached, and somebody would, the guard on the wall would say, "Halt, who goes there?" And his rider, his servant, would say, "The king of so-and-so. And if you'll open, he'll come in." And they kept that back and forth till they clarified who the king was and why he had come. Now our Lord, when he came to this earth for 33 and a half years, did not try to sell himself. He did not try to promote himself. In fact, whenever he healed, when he started his public ministry, and he started his healing, he never would let them proclaim who did it. He stayed hid. But then there came that day when it was time for him to get ready to go to the cross. And he held it back, and he wanted just to magnify and honor the Father. And so, but we find here on this week of all weeks, this week that would be the greatest week that ever was in the life of our world. And here our Lord is getting ready to show himself to the people. And he sends two of his disciples to a place and told them to get, he said, when you get to a certain house where two ways meet, there's a house there, and there's a colt and an ass. And he said, loose them and bring them to me. Notice his authority. And he said, just loose them, just bring them on. And if the man asks you what you're doing with them, just say, the king hath need of them. And he'll let them go. Well, it happened that way. And they brought him to him. They brought him to Jesus. And they put some clothes on the back of that little colt. And Jesus got on it. Why didn't he get the mutt? Why did he not get the ass? Why didn't he not ride her? She was more, broken. She was already broken in. She'd been ridden and she'd carried heavy burdens. But notice the tenderness of our Lord. He got on that little colt. And that colt, we did not find that it broke him, that he tried to buck him off. And he rode that little colt into the city of Jerusalem. And when he came into the city of Jerusalem, the people began to praise him. And they started throwing their clothes down in the way. And they broke off palm branches and began to wave them and throw them in the way. I want to ask you a question. How did they know to do that? How did they know to do that? But there was something that had prompted and promoted them to do that. But notice in these verses tonight, I want you to just look at two, three or four things and we'll be through. First of all, we've already talked about acquiring the ride. There was a vehicle to bring Jesus to the people. You know what you and I are tonight? We're vehicles to bring Jesus to the people. That's our job. That's our job. Our greatest accomplishment in this life is to win somebody to the Lord. It's not how much money you can acquire. It's not how big a name you could have. But will there be somebody in heaven that will say, "I'm here because you told me about Jesus"? That's the greatest thing. And they're acquiring the ride. But notice this announcing the ruler. In verse 5, "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, as sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass." And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. Then look at verse 7, thank you. And brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him their own. Now, another reason that I believe tonight for the colt and the ass, I believe he was saying there was a change of dispensations getting ready to take place. That the old was fading away and the new was coming in. I mean, they had been under the law all that time, but now grace had come to the city. Amen. Grace had come, and now he was putting in a brand new dispensation for them. And so they're announcing the ruler, and he said, "Tell them that your king is coming." And so then notice again tonight in these verses that I've read to you, and then verse 8, "And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and throw them in the way." Now look at verse 9. "And the multitudes that went before and that followed." I looked at that, Brother George, this afternoon, and those two phrases. "And they that went before." You see, there's a whole group of people of generations on top of generations that have come before you and I, have told this world that Jesus is a king. They have told the world, they preached for years, that Jesus is coming soon. And I believe that with all of my heart. But then notice tonight, he talks about, "and they that followed," that's me and you. And there's going to be others that are going to follow after us. Sometimes the way this whole world's looking, I don't think there'll be many more us's are coming through. I believe the Lord's getting ready to come, and I believe this whole world is going to be brought into judgment, and our God will be sitting on the throne above everything, and he'll be ruling forever and ever. Now notice again tonight in these verses. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now I want you to look tonight. First of all, let me tell you what happens when the king comes. Number one, there was a watch. Somebody had heard that the king was coming. And there was a group of people, a great multitude, that were watching for him. I want to ask you a question tonight. You watching for him? I mean, sometimes, folk, we get so busy trying to live in this world and try to get settled and get everything just right so we can live in this life that we forget to know that we weren't put here to live forever and ever. Amen. We weren't put here to live forever and ever. And all the best of things that we could accomplish and the finest of things that we can bring in and call ours, they'll be as nothing when Jesus comes and this whole world's put under judgment. I appreciate everything that God lets us have. I appreciate and I believe it pleases God to give us his children nice things and good things when we honor him and when we love him. But folk, listen to me. It's not a sin to have things, but when things get you, that's where the trouble is. Oh, listen tonight. Notice they were watching for him. They were watching him. When they saw him coming, they started doing something to point out who he was. Number one, there was a watch. Number two, there was a work. They started cutting down the limbs, the palm trees. They started cutting them down and getting the palm leaves and waving them. You heard about the little boy that had been to Sunday school one morning and come home from church on Palm Sunday. And his mother asked him, said, honey, what did the preacher preach on today? And he said, well, he preached on where the people was waving the palm branches because Jesus had come. His mother said, my Lord, the first time in years God's been to that church and I wasn't even there to wave my palm branch. Amen. Oh, notice this. The watch and the work. But there was worship. When he came in, they worshiped him. I mean, they throw modesty away. They took their coats off, throwed them in the... And they weren't afraid who heard him shout and holler. Amen. Had a lady in church I used to pastor. Sometimes the services get on, people be shouting, crying, squalling. I had this lady, she was sort of self-conscious, and she'd go like that before she'd know what she's doing. Then she'd, oh my Lord, I'm shouting. Then she'd start scratching her head. Amen. But notice this, worship. They started worshiping him. The greatest thing that you can do for the Lord is to worship him. And you don't have to be in church to do it. I mean, just you can worship him driving down the road. You can worship him sitting on the front porch with a glass of iced tea. Amen. You can worship him just sitting in your house. You can worship him. It is not the position of the body or it's not the location of you. It's the position of the heart. Amen. And our spirit turned toward him. And so there was worship. But then notice again, there was something else. There was witnesses to this, what was going on. Notice in verse 10. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? There was something about the way that the church, that those people were worshiping him, and people that didn't know him had never heard of him. They said, who and what is causing all this commotion? What would make these people go this wild? One of them turned around and said, this is Jesus, the prophet. And oh, listen, they were asking, who is this? Oh, there's not many folk today asking about who is this. That there is a belief in the United States today, right now, for anything and anybody that they want to believe. And don't kid yourself, there's people in the United States denied to cut mine and your head off. For what we believe, if they could get by with it. Yes, amen. They'd do away with us in a heartbeat. But oh, I'm glad we're indispensable till Jesus gets through with us here. Amen. But notice this. I want to look at some of the witnesses for a minute that stood there and looked at. Somebody turns around and says, who is this? And here's a little old tiny fella comes up about there, and he says, "Well, I know who he is. I've seen him. And some of the people that owed me money have seen him before." And they said, "Well, who are you? You're Zacchaeus, ain't you?" And he said, "Yes, sir, I am." "Well, what have you got? What makes you qualified to know who he is?" "Oh," he said, "I tell you," he said, "when he came through here before, I was sitting up in the tree. And I nobody looked much like me because I've been done pretty dirty and I've cheated in my job. But I got up in the tree because I had a desire to know what he was about." Amen. Could I tell you that even the lowest person in this world, they may deny it, but there's a hunger and a tugging in their soul tonight. They want to know who Jesus is, and they want to know what it is that lets you and I have a smile on our face when hell's raging by the acre around us. Amen. Amen. Yes, and so they look at it. So Zacchaeus says, "I was sitting up on a branch of that tree, on a limb of that tree, minding my own business. Thought I was incognito, nobody could see me. But he passed by, and while everybody was shouting and hollering, throwing things at him, and all, he stopped and looked up. And he knew my name. And he said, 'Zacchaeus, come down.'" Amen. Anybody ever comes to Jesus has got to come down first. You'll always come down. No matter, listen, the cross is level. The ground's level. Them that are low down's got to come up, and them though that are high up have to come down. And we meet on one level at the foot of the cross. Zacchaeus said, he told me that he was going to my house. He said nobody wanted to go to my house because everybody hated me. But he said, "I come scrambling down that tree, and I knew I'd been had. I knew that he knew everything about me." And he said, I told him, "Lord, behold, I give all my goods to feed the poor. And if I've taken anything," he knew he had, "if I've taken anything by false witness, I'll restore to him fourfold." Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, today you got salvation." Zacchaeus said, "Yeah, I can tell you who he is. He's my Savior. He's my Savior. He's the one that changed my life. He's the one that brought me out of the degradation of my life and made me somebody and made me able to lift up my head and look this world in the face again." That's what the Lord can do. And then notice this. There's somebody else standing around. There's a woman standing there. She's got her son. He's a young man, probably around, I don't know, maybe in his 20s. And he's standing there with her. She's smiling and he's got his arm around his mother, and we look around, and Zacchaeus says, "Well, they know who he is. Ask them." And we ask her, "Ma'am, who are you?" And she says, "I'm a widow, and I live in Nain." "Well, what makes him so precious to you?" And she says, "A few months ago, my boy standing here got sick and died. Only boy I had, all I had. And I was following his casket out to the cemetery till all of a sudden somebody was standing in the way." Amen. Oh, listen, that make a Presbyterian have a fit. Amen. And they was always, listen, there was somebody standing in the way. And she said, "When we got up to him, he went and told the pallbearers, set the casket down." And he walked over and got my son by the hand and spoke to him, and life came back into him. And he got up. Oh, I'm telling you, there's a God tonight who can take the deadest of the dead. Amen. And can bring life back into it tonight. Your life, you may be so dead in your heart and your spirit and your soul tonight, you don't think you can ever feel anything. But there's a Savior who walked into town on Palm Sunday and a week later died and rose again. And he can give you a life that's worth living. Somebody else is standing over there, and he just saunters over. He don't wait to be asked. He just saunters over. And he said, "Let me tell you what he done for me. I'd been laid by a pool over at Bethesda 38 years. Every once in a while, the water would be troubled. An angel would come down and trouble the water. And I tried to move, but I couldn't even scoot. And I didn't have anybody. And some of them others, they could climb in the pool. And others had somebody there with them to help them. But well, I never knew when the water was going to be troubled. But one day, I was sitting there waiting. Here he comes," said a man that I never saw before, never saw nobody like him. There was just something about him. Amen. There was just something about him that was different from anything I'd ever seen. And I felt something that I had never felt in those 38 years. And he said, I was liar, and said, he just walked up to me and said, sir, do you want to be healed? You know, there's a question tonight that you could ask, that I want to ask you. You may be here tonight and you may be lost. Or you may be here tonight and you may be backslid, cold, and indifferent. I want to ask you, you say, preacher, I don't like being in this shape. Let me ask you a question. Do you really want to be healed? Do you really want to be healed? I helped revival back in the late 60s in Detroit, Michigan. And I preached on a Sunday morning. And there was a man and a woman walked into that service. And they were dressed to the nines. And they walked in and sat down. And I gave the invitation. I preached that morning. And God showed up and helped us. And I gave the invitation while the invitation was going on. And I asked for hands of people who want to be remembered in prayer. And they was holding their hands up. And that man lifted his hand up for prayer. And I could tell that God was shaking his cage. And I gave the invitation. And he Brother George, he looked over at his wife. And he stepped out in the aisle and looked over at her. And she looked at him and shook her head no. And I saw him ease back in. I found out from the pastor later on, and I asked him about them later on, and he said, you know, he said that man worked for General Motors. That man had enough, he was a gambler. He bet on horse races. He bet on car races. He bet on baseball. He bet on anything, and that man many a time carried enough money on payday in General Motors to cash the checks of his fellow workers. And he said, the pastor said, I knew that he'd started to come that morning. I went to his house and spoke to him. And he said, yes, sir, God really spoke to me that morning. But the pastor talked to his wife and she said, well, I know we ought to do better. But we've got a lot of money now. We're making it. We just barely could make it for a long time. But now we've got money. And if he gets saved, he'll have to quit his gambling. And we won't have the money that we've got now. Folk, I want to tell you something. If you leave out of here with nothing but a potato sack, if you've got Jesus in your heart's the greatest thing you could ever have. Oh, listen to that man. And here's this man laying by the pool of Bethesda. And he tells him, he stands there looking at him and said, look at me. And he said, I never had been able, I didn't have nobody to take an interest to help me in the pool. But that man looked at me and said, do you want to be healed? And he said, he reached down and to me and just simply said, rise, take up your bed and walk. Amen. And that man says, I'm here today because that man on that little foal coming down the street took an interest in me and loved me. Oh, listen. But listen, I think of a man who's standing over there, and he's an elderly man now. He's up in years. He's still walking with this big old shepherd staff. And they ask him, well, sir, you look like you know who he is. And he said, well, this is the first time I've ever met him since he's been born. Over one time. But 33 years ago, 33 and a half years ago, me and my friends had our flock out on the hillside in the country, outside Bethlehem. We'd got the sheep bedded down for the night. Everything was quiet. We had a fire going. We were sitting there taking it easy, getting ready to turn in for the night. And all of a sudden, the biggest and the brightest light, the biggest and the brightest light came up and just lit up the whole sky. And he said, it scared us. He said, we didn't know what it was. And he said, we fell on the ground and took our cloaks and hid our faces. But said the nicest voice came through and said, fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And he said, we went and we saw the star. And we went and we found the cave where they were in. And when we saw him, we just fell down at his feet. And my sir, he was just a baby. But there's something inside me that tells me that man coming down the street is that little baby 33 and a half years ago. Oh, I want to tell you tonight, friend, listen, that the week that was, where he was born a baby, but he didn't stay a baby. He lived on this earth, and he came and went into Jerusalem. And all the people received him. The rulers weren't there. They didn't come out to welcome him. They didn't give him the keys to the city. But the people came, and they worshiped him. And folks, some of the things that I've talked about tonight, watching for him, worshiping him, working for him, walking with him, witnessing about him. That's what happens when revival comes to our heart. Let's stand and bow our heads, will you? Oh, they come to the instruments. Oh, I'm thankful tonight. I'm thankful that Jesus lives. I'm thankful that he came. I'm glad he died for the whosoever. I'm glad he didn't say you can be saved and you can't. You can, you can't. But I'm glad he said, whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Oh, tonight, who is this? He's the Lord of glory. He's the Savior of the world. He's the satisfier. He's the sanctifier. He's the one tonight that can take your life and make it worth living with more joy and more peace than you ever thought you could have. He is the King of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. How many tonight in this building can say, preacher, I know who you're talking about. I know him. I've met him. Would you just slip that hand up tonight? Just say, preacher, I want to stand up, just testify and say, Jesus, I know him. Thank you so much. I want her tonight in this building. I want you to know you're among friends. And I want you to know that Jesus loves you. And if you ever see heaven, you must be born again. It's not his will that any would perish. But I want for someone here in this building tonight to say, preacher, I don't know the Lord. I don't have him in my heart, and I know I need to, and I don't want to die without knowing him. I don't want to go to hell. I want to be in heaven with my friends and my family and the saints of God. Pray for me, preacher, will you? Would you slip that hand up tonight and put it right back down and just say, pray for me. I'm not going to embarrass you or point you out or come to you, but I want to pray for you. Are you tonight, anybody in this building tonight, just slip your hand up and say, pray for me. I want for somebody in here tonight to say, preacher, I've been saved. I know what it is to know the Lord Jesus, but I'm not where I ought to be tonight with the Lord. I don't have the joy that I used to have. And preacher, I want revival in my heart. I want revival in my heart. Will you just slip that hand up tonight and say, preacher, pray for me. Just put it right back down. God bless you. Is there someone else tonight to lift that hand? Preacher, pray for me. I need a closer walk with God tonight. I want revival in my heart. See, I know I'm not going to preach anything new this week that you haven't heard from your pastor. You've got God's man here, and he's preaching and all. And I'm just here under his authority this week, and all I'll be doing is just the things I'll preach will just be putting a mark of to accommodate what he's been preaching to you. But I wonder tonight if there's anybody here, you just slip that hand up, preacher. I need to get close to the Lord. Someone else, will you slip that hand up tonight and say, remember me in prayer, will you? While we wait for just a minute. Are you here tonight? You say, preacher, I've got a heavy burden on my heart tonight. I know I'm saved. I know I love the Lord. I know he loves me. And I want you to pray for me. I've got a heavy burden, and I need an answer to prayer. Would you just slip your hand up tonight and say, remember me in prayer? God bless you. I invite you as we sing to come tonight and just lay it on the altar and just give it to Jesus. Father, I ask you tonight, Lord, to just speak to hearts. Thank you, Father, for the joy of knowing you. I'm glad you came, dear Father, to love us and to die for us on the cross of Calvary. Lord, meet with us these nights. And God, may Christ be honored and his name lifted up and glorified. We'll thank and praise you in Jesus' name and for Christ's sake. Amen. While our heads are still bowed, I wonder if somebody just needs to slip out. Brother George is going to come and conclude the service any way he sees fit. But maybe tonight you just want to come tonight and just slip and lay that burden on the altar. Just come and pray for just a moment. We're not going to tarry long. I don't have long invitations. And what about it tonight? What about you? I want you to be praying for the meeting these nights this week. I believe God will help us meet with us.
We'll wait just a moment. If you want to come and bring your burden to the altar, it's still early. Our meeting has gone by fast. But this is the most important time. We'll wait on you if you need to come. You can circle right around here and pray with Brother J.W. if you want to. Maybe tonight you are burdened. Maybe you have a special need. Let's sing a verse of that song. You don't need a songbook. You don't need anything, no words to sing, just as I am.